Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we're going to talk about power and fiber to the antenna. That's a sticky situation. RF power is always difficult. I've got Patrick Flynn. He's from Tally. I've got Jim Lieb and Fred Kozloff. They're from Connec. And I've got Brian DeMarco. He's from FiberSource. And they're going to talk about an interesting solution that Tally has developed working with Connec and FiberSource to address this issue. Isn't that right, Patrick? Hey, welcome aboard.
Well, thanks, Alex. Thanks for having us.
Oh, well, you, Jim, Fred, and Brian, say hi, everybody.
Hello, guys.
How about you, Jim? There you go. And basically, since we have a group of people, as you come in, just identify yourself when you jump in with a comment so we can, so the audience will know how it's going along. So, Patrick, yes, I was just saying how RF power is tough. Antenna mismatching, poor power transmission, all kinds of inefficiencies in the system. I mean, the antenna is probably the ugliest part in any RF system, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, so our opportunity for this application came about from that primary design factor in a cell phone network. The cable system's designed on a 3 dB loss, so we are going to lose 50% of our power.
Mm-hmm.
So if we move the radio amplifier to the antenna, then we can reduce the power consumption. So with that application, we now have to drive a different medium. So we're using optics to carry our data transmission. But we also now have to deliver DC power to the antenna or to the radio at the antenna.
So mm-hmm.
That's really where our problems came about. So from that, I got together with Brian from FiberSource and said, hey, we have an opportunity to create a system, but we need to deliver optics and we need to deliver DC power.
Mm-hmm. Now, why don't you follow up on that a little bit, Brian?
Yes, and Tally had some concepts of what they wanted to do. They provided some sketches, and we made various prototypes, and the application engineers at Tally have a lot of experience with this, and they had seen what a lot of the other people were doing, and we believe that we came up with an excellent solution. I think one of the things that there's several approaches for providing power and fiber to the antenna. One approach is to have composite fiber and copper cables, and another approach was to provide the fiber and copper in separately. And so we made the provisions for both approaches, but it seems like primarily the customers seem to favor the approach where the fiber and the power are run separately. One of the other things that we noticed, some of the other systems out there were they've used proprietary components. So they've tried to get their unique components specified into the solutions. And Tally, being the leading distributor to the wireless industry, noticed that that was causing a lot of customer frustration, a limited availability of components, very expensive components, and components that you couldn't mix and match upon with other manufacturers' products. So I guess with the solution that we came up with, we used industry-standard components. We used for the optical fiber part, we used industry-standard ODBA connectors, which, we feel Connec makes the best ODBA connector, but these products are available from multiple manufacturers, so you're not limited to one supplier, and that standardization helps drive the cost down and the customer can get the product from multiple vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the trunk cables, we standardized on MTP connectors, which were a well-accepted industry standard connector.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know something, Brian, that's always going to be an issue. Frankly, for the record, and everyone who's listened to me in the past knows this, I am deaf on proprietary technology. I think unless it is unique core technology, but then that belongs on the inside of the box. You could have fairies on the inside of the box as long as the outside of the box can communicate with the rest of the industry. I think too many companies try to use proprietary technologies to trap clients or to secure market share, and I think that that's a weak approach. So, having said that, Patrick, Brian had mentioned that, you know, the client, which is you, chose separate power and fiber cables for the solution?
Well, actually what we did is our design philosophy was our customer has an engineer or engineering team, and they have a philosophy. So our system's designed so you can do a hybrid or a composite, or you can use separate power and separate fiber.
Mm-hmm.
So the cabling side of it, we're using the same boxes, but we also allowed variability. So we use DIN rails on the power side, so you can use breakers.
Very industry standard parts, yeah.
All industry standard parts, but basically there's a menu, and the engineering team can design and then choose from the menu how they want to configure the power coming into the box.
Mm-hmm.
On the fiber side, we've stuck to that standard solution input and output.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where Jim and Fred come in as well, because obviously you've got to make these things mate. It has to hook up to stuff. And as they were saying, the connectors are important, and they said quite nice things about how you make them, Jim.
Yes, the responsibility for us as a connector manufacturer is to do exactly what you talked about, Alex, and that is to look at the standard IOs that are out there to make it a industry acceptable standard. And so we do take the standard recognizable IOs that are available, such as an LC duplex, and we create an interconnect that will withstand harsh environments. Obviously, in the market that we're talking about here, you're going to have that tower or that application is going to see some severe environments. And so the idea is, again, to take a standard recognizable IO and make that product work in the harsh environment that it's designed for. And in this case, we took the, as Brian had mentioned, the ODDA fiber optic connector, and we put that in a IT67 protected housing. And we have various styles in terms of the materials that you can use, from plastic to a full metal, depending on, you know, the application and where that product's going to be used. A lot of the end users will select either the full metal or a plastic version.
Mm-hmm.
Same ODVA connector housing.
Got you. Fred, do you have anything to add to that?
Just extending to similar logic with power connectors, 7/8 circulars, you know, they have to be ruggedized also, and that's what makes this an interesting project.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What were some of the challenges you guys came across?
Well, the role that we had, I think, was more to follow the overall strategy from Pally and FiberSource, and that was to look at, you know, what's the advantage of having a quick, easy connect or disconnect in a fiber distribution or power distribution box.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at it from the install side of the application. And so, you know, our idea was that if you're going to have a installation and you're moving fiber and power cables at, you know, in a tower elevated heights of 300 feet or more, you know, the operator or the installer certainly wants to have every advantage on his side to make it a safe and quick install.
Yeah, you could say that again.
And so what we wanted to do was look at it from the connectorization standpoint. And so we took the information that Pally had shared with FiberSource, and then FiberSource shared with us and said, okay, this is the best solution. You get a standard I/O in both the LC duplex as well as the what we call a 7/8 type power connector that can withstand the harsh environment, but it's easily used in a quick disconnect. On the ODVA connector, it's a quick bayonet attach to the coupler that would be on the fiber distribution box. So it doesn't get any simpler than that. Rather than having to hardwire a distribution box, whether it be fiber or power, when you're at the install site. So we took it from a quick disconnect, connectorization of the fiber and power distribution box.
Got you. Now, Patrick, is this available now as a complete solution for your clients, or do you help them piece it together, or are there certain packages offered with customization? How are you packaging this whole solution?
Well, we've really taken it, it's available in a whole solution, but again, I said before, there's a menu basis. So we have application engineers that will support a customer in going through that menu to configure their end solution. So realistically, taking from that environment for here, for this application, the environment's outdoors, it's ruggedized, but it's vertical. So we have had to take into consideration, on a tower, per se, your attachment is every 4 feet. So your cable has to be rigid enough that in a 35 or 40 mile an hour wind, you don't get too much vibration.
Too much vibration, exactly.
So it's a lot of in that system design, we need to look at the environment where we're going to place it. Southern California, the application environment is not as rigorous as in Montana or Alaska.
Got you. Now, Patrick, just in a broad stroke sense, what are the biggest takeaways for the client there? What kind of cost savings are you looking at? Or if it's not a cost saving per se, it's more of a performance advantage. At the bottom of the tally sheet, why should I spend my money on this?
Well, if you're moving from the standard RF application to the fiber application, your material costs can have as much as a 50% savings.
Hmm.
By going to a trunked fiber power solution, you can get 30 to 50% labor reduction in your installation. You can also, for the same price in an RF solution, I could put in 3 antennas and 3 coax, but in the fiber solution, I could put in and support 3 antennas or 3 radios, but for the same cost, I put in enough infrastructure to support 12. So
gotcha.
It really reduced the cost because I have a lot more bandwidth available. So the applications can be adjusted. You can drive costs in and out depending on the scale that you want to put on a structure. It's also in other applications. There's distributed antenna systems that can utilize the same design philosophies, as well as going into utilities and SCADA, into solar power. So realistically, if you have an application that needs fiber and power extended from a hub location, then it doesn't have to be fiber to the antenna. It's really, if it's a fiber and power need, then this is a way to start migrating.
Got you. And that's actually an excellent point, because there are a lot of other applications that can use the technology. I'm always fond of saying that you show 10 engineers a technology, you're going to get 8 applications you never thought of. So why don't each of you gentlemen, since Jim and Fred, you're from the same place, I'll only ask Jim if you don't mind, but each of you give me the website for your company, and in your case, Patrick, if you've got a deep dive for the solution, you can give it to me as well. But Patrick, what's Tally's URL?
We are Tally, TalleyCom.com. So tallycom.com will get you to our web. And for the for this application, we have a website that's fiber2tower.com. That's fiber2tower.com.
Yeah, there you go. How about you, Jim Connick?
Yeah, it's www.conec.com. Connick.com.
Excellent. Do you have any subpages involving this technology, or is it all through Tally?
It's all through the fiber2tower that.
That site,
at,
right?
Yeah.
Got you. And okay, how about you, Brian? FiberSource.
Fibersource.net, FIBERSOURCE.net.
You must be tired of all the cereal jokes.
No, yes.
But, gentlemen, I'll leave it on that note. And I'd like to thank the audience for taking the time to be with us. We couldn't do it without you. And I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for taking the time to be with me today. It's really great. I think it's important that we get this information on this technology out to everybody.
Very good. Thanks, Alex, for having us.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. So, everyone have a great day. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Take care.